Father, we do thank thee for the gospel outreach that is carried on from year to year, not only in our province, but throughout this land. And we pray that thou will bless the work of Consider Christ and the plying outreach endeavors. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt accept of our thanks for thy goodness to us in a year that is almost gone. And Lord, for the year that is to come, we pray that thy hand of good and blessing will be upon us individually and collectively. And O God, that this would be a year when thou wilt lead thy people on with thyself and lead thy church into blessing. So tarry with us in these final few moments of an old year and into the new. And we pray that thy word will minister a challenge to us. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think at this time of the year, it is natural that we look to the future. What plans, what ambitions, and what hopes we have for the year that is to come. But we also review the past. Are we satisfied? Are we happy? Are we content with the achievements and the events that have taken place in the past year in our lives, or are we a little frustrated or perhaps even disappointed? Tonight I want to ask you, just in the final few moments of this meeting, if we could take a little look back individually in our lives in 2000 and over 2016, and can we ask ourselves the question, are there any things in our lives that we have neglected in 2016? And I'd like to make it a little more specific tonight. Are there any spiritual things in our lives that we have neglected in 2016? When we think of neglecting spiritual things, our mind is often drawn to the verse in Hebrews chapter 2 and the verse 3, where the apostle asked the question, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And when we think of neglect, spiritually speaking, often the Christian or the minister will rebuke those that are unsaved, those who have heard the gospel, those that know the truth of the gospel, those who know they must get right with God, but they procrastinate, they put it off, and they seek to leave it to the side. They neglect it. And rightly so, that type of spirit and attitude needs to be rebuked, for to neglect your soul and your soul's salvation is the greatest mistake that a man or woman could ever make. And if they neglect their soul's salvation, then the intention of the question is that, and the inference of the question is, that you will not escape the judgment of God in eternity if you neglect so great a salvation provided at Calvary. And should there be one in the meeting tonight and you're not a Christian, and 2016 sees you come to the end of this year without Christ, without hope, without God, then we say to you tonight, don't neglect your soul salvation any longer. However, as we go through the scriptures, we discover that there are a number of things that Christians can neglect in relation to spiritual matters. And there are three of them tonight, and I'm just going to summarize them, outline them for you, and pass a comment or two until briefly after midnight, God willing. The first one is found in Song of Solomon, chapter 1, and the verse 6. And the verse says, look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. The first aspect the first thing that a Christian can neglect is described here as the neglected vineyard. The bride is speaking. And the bride in Song of Solomon is a picture of the church. And her brothers or sisters made her, her mother's children, her brothers and sisters appointed her as the keeper of other people's vineyards, but she neglected, because she was busy looking after everybody else's vineyard, she neglected her own vineyard. Now, in the Song of Solomon, the vineyard or the garden is a picture of our heart. You'll see that if you turn over to chapter 4 and the verse 16. It says, "Awake, O north wind, and come thy south, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits." And there you have a picture of the garden or the vineyard, and it's a picture of the heart. And the bride wants the garden to produce the spices and the fruits thereof, that they might flow, so that her beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ, would come into the garden and would taste of those fruits and those spices that were growing there. And it's a picture of the child of God and their communion with Jesus Christ, that he would come into our hearts and that he would commune with us and he would rejoice in the fruit of the Spirit that would be in us and flowing from us. That's what he's looking in our hearts and our lives. Spiritual fruit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. And yet in verse 6 of chapter 1, we discover that the bride was so busy looking after other people's business, she had neglected her vineyard, and therefore it would not have produced the fruit that it ought to have produced. I wonder tonight, is there a Christian in this past year you have neglected your personal communion with the Lord? You've neglected your own heart's relationship with Christ. Maybe you've been busy doing other things in the work of God. You've been serving others. You've been looking after the needs of others so much that you've neglected your own personal communion with the Lord. Well, wasn't it Peter who said in 2 Peter 3:18, "Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." And if you have neglected that personal quiet time, so that in the means of grace, the reading of the Word, the private place of prayer to help and benefit your walk with the Lord, if that has been the case this year, may you determine that you will not neglect your own heart's relationship, but you will seek to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ afresh. Would you turn over to Hebrews chapter 10 and the verse 25? There's something else here that we learn that the Christian could neglect. Hebrews 10 and verse 25, and Paul states, we'll read verse 24. In fact, verse 23 down to verse 25. "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." In Song of Solomon 1 and 6, we discover the vineyard was neglected, and that is a picture of the heart and its personal walk with the Lord. But here we discover there was worship that was neglected. The word assembling refers to a public gathering or congregation. And the New Testament church, the believers of that age and era, they met publicly for worship, for prayer, and for fellowship. It's evident from the text, verse 25, that some who professed the Lord neglected that worship. We might say they neglected the church meetings, the church gatherings, the church assemblies. You're not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. There were some who had, at that time, they were neglecting the public means of grace. We're not told what the reason was. Perhaps they were discouraged. Perhaps there was disillusionment. Perhaps they were simply being disobedient, or they'd been defiled by sin. Perhaps they were attending to other duties. But we are told that they missed out the word exhorting, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching, we are to attend the house of God to be exhorted in the faith of the gospel. It is a means of grace to help us on with the Lord. It's interesting too, and I'm not going to turn to it, but in the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew 26, we discover that the disciples neglected public prayer. Jesus had gathered them in the garden and he said, pray ye, watch and pray, and he would go a little further. And it is possible for a Christian, a professing believer, to neglect the public worship of God, the public prayer times for the Lord, the public gathering of the saints. And we're told here they missed out on those exhortations that were a means of grace to help them on with the Lord. Isn't that what happened to Thomas? In John chapter 20, verse 24, when the disciples gathered in the upper room there on the first Sabbath after the death of Christ, the Christian Sabbath, and we're told that Jesus stood in the midst and he showed them his hands and his feet, and Thomas wasn't there and he doubted. My friend, you miss out with the Lord. You miss out in your faith being strengthened. You miss out in the blessing of the Lord's presence if you neglect the public worship of the Lord. And again, I say to you, maybe there are things that have come into your heart and life. It may be discouragement. It may be other duties. Perhaps there's family who have been ill. Perhaps there are legitimate, you may feel legitimate reasons, but you've missed out more than you should have done. And you've missed out with the Lord. May this year, in 2017, it be determined in the hearts of God's people. I'll be with the assembling of the saints as often as I can. There was a neglected vineyard. There was neglected worship. And the final one, I want you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and the verse 14. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and the verse 14, and we read of a neglected gift. Paul says to young Timothy, verse 13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Timothy was a young man who was saved under the ministry of the apostle Paul. He had the gift of preaching, and he was ordained to the ministry. And Paul here was exhorting him not to neglect that gift. He wrote again in the second epistle, chapter 1, the verse 6 and 7. He said, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. And what we learn there is that Timothy, because of the fear of man, he was neglecting his gift. He was neglecting that gift that God had given him. He wasn't using it or operating within it as he ought to do. And Paul had him on a number of occasions. Don't neglect that gift. God has given it to you. Use it in the service of the Lord. And in the second epistle, chapter 1, he writes again. And he says, stir up the gift of God that is within you. And I say to you, maybe the Lord has given you a gift, or as the Lord spoke about in one of the parables he told, a talent to serve him. And that is a particular talent or gift for a particular area or aspect of God's work. And yet this past year, perhaps you have been neglecting it, wasting your talent and your time through whatever reason. And the Word of God would have to come to you tonight, as it did to Timothy through the Apostle Paul, as a word of rebuke. Don't neglect the gift that God has given you. Rather, as he says in verse 6 of 2 Timothy chapter 1, stir it up this year. Use it for the glory of God. Get involved again in the work of extending the message of my kingdom. Pray that God will use it, and the Lord will indeed bless you in it. We can look back We can look forward with anticipation, expectation, and hope for the year that is to come. But we can look back with reflection. Is there anything in our spiritual life we've neglected? Our own hearts, relationship with Christ, the public worship, prayer times for the Lord with the people of God, or perhaps a gift that God has given us to continue in His service. May we not neglect them. May we determine tonight. We've moved into 2017 in the preaching of the Word. And may we begin this year by determining in our hearts that we will not neglect these spiritual things, but press on with the Lord. Would you turn in your hymn book to 418? We'll close with two verses of this hymn. Well, in fact, we'll sing three. Verse 1, verse 3, and verse 4.